Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve.
I'm Lawrence.
He's Lawrence, everyone. If you didn't know, we do a little podcast on short books of the Bible.
And we did a long book the last time.
Yes, okay. We did a long book. Now we are doing short books.
Short books.
Later, we'll find medium books.
I wonder if there are medium books.
How would we define that?
There are mediums in books.
Nice. Well played. King Saul, is that you? So, Lair, tonight we're going to talk about, or this afternoon, or this morning, depending on where you're listening, we're going to talk about 2 John.
of our vast listening audience. we are doing second John, Stephen. You're doing second John. And so shall I introduce?
Oh, why not? Okay. Introduce, I say.
If you believe that John wrote, that John the Apostle mm-hmm. wrote the Gospel of John and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, I think by sheer volume, he might be behind Acts, behind Luke, but he would be ahead of Paul in actual number of words written, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but he's quite prolific if he wrote them. And as we say oftentimes, when you're doing biblical studies, not everybody believes that the authors that are ascribed to the books actually wrote the books.
Okay, so fair enough.
Yeah, but now I tend to think that John wrote these. There are signs in here that the disciple wrote these.
Right, okay.
Like the way he talks, it sounds like the same guy. I ask you, dear lady, and all this kind of stuff. Sounds like my father-in-law, actually. And my dad used to talk this way.
Okay. Well, see, there you go. There you go. Yeah. So there's two good examples.
Yeah. And, so anyway, so this is just a short book, but it's got a couple of pieces in it that are very, very, very intriguing. So let's do it.
Well, let's jump right in, folks. 2 John. Sorry, I'm just doing that for fun. Second
John. I like
John.
That. No, I say 2 John.
2
that's
John.
That's the Marine way of saying things.
Well, there you go. Used
to say it's 2nd May.
2nd May. Huh. Oh, okay. I like that. Well, here we go. We're going to start verse 1. I'll read the first, and we'll read them in the sections as we typically do. To the elder. Oh, sorry. First words, I screwed up right away. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all those who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love.
Now, not everybody doesn't agree on who the elect lady is, but most will say the elect lady is the church and the children are the Christians. And that's sort of the way we go. So this isn't a person and her kids. This is just a way of referring to the church. And that's what most people think, right?
Okay, makes sense.
And then he finishes, he says, you're abiding in the truth. And remember, that was a big thing in 1 John, too, that whole truth thing
that he
pushed. And so he picks it up again in 2 John. So we at least think the author of 1 and 2 John are the same.
Okay.
And he says, truth abides in you, and it's going to be with us forever. And sometimes we say then that truth is a specific reference to Jesus. As in Jesus abides with us forever. Okay. Not just true things abide with us, but he's talking about Jesus.
Okay, and is I was going to say, and then is verse 3 kind of a blessing over them, just kind of like how Paul would write it? It's sort of that form letter version of it?
Very much part of the early Christians' letters. Yeah. Okay. Like we say dear, they say, and this is the salutation, right? Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. So, and that's important to John. And one of my teachers would say that. He'd say, the whole idea of Jesus and God being equal, he said, it's not often spelled out in the New Testament, but it comes in natural ways. Mm. Grace from God and from Jesus, like the equality of the two comes out in that.
Okay.
Which for Christians is important, like for for born again believers, it's really important that Jesus and God, like Jesus is God, right?
Yes. Yeah. Member of the Godhead.
This whole Trinity thing, even though they don't throw the Holy Spirit in here, he should have, and then that would have been good. Man from the Spirit. Yeah. An afterthought.
Yeah.
Because this could fit more in with the apostolic people, but that's right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Anyway, now into the main body, which is very short as well.
Okay. I rejoice greatly. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one that we already had, or we've had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For it's many...
I'm sorry.
That's good.
Yeah, okay. So now he's basically saying, listen, I've been telling you all along, and many of you are doing this, but you're walking in the truth. And he's getting to a place, if you remember the Gospel of John, by the time the Gospel of John is written, and so now he just talks about walking in the truth. And he says, this isn't new. What I'm telling you isn't new. So in the Gospel, I was saying, He was fighting what we called proto-Gnosticism. And remember, Gnosticism itself, Mandean Gnostics and stuff, that was like mid-second century before that really started taking off.
Okay. Right?
The Gnostic Gospels, Thomas and all those, you're actually talking, 200s by then.
Okay, right, makes sense.
Except the people that felt that it was really early, but they most people don't go along with that anyway. So that's the Nag Hammadi library and all that. But this Gnosticism that he was arguing against, it's kind of here as well. He's saying, look, we've been following Christ from the beginning, and this command that Jesus gave us to love one another, he gave us right from the beginning, and this is what we're supposed to walk in, and that's what I want you to do, right? So he is arguing against, there's these things going on that he's seriously arguing against. He's saying so very little, but there's a lot packed behind that.
Oh, okay. Now, Laird, it maybe as a bit of background, would he be talking to the same churches that Paul would be talking to, or is John's area a little different maybe?
Yeah, and John was on the island for a while. Now, and then he came back. So John's area would have been actually same zone. We were talking Ephesus and things like that. Okay. And Paul was in those areas, and he wrote to those same churches.
Okay.
But we always thought that maybe John in his later life was a circuit preacher, and they all were to some extent, but that he actually had a group of churches that he kind of oversaw as a presbyter, as an elder, and as a circuit guy.
Okay, cool.
Much like the Anglicans and the Wesleyans and all that kind of stuff. They did that.
Okay, cool. Sorry for that interjection. I was just curious point there.
Yeah.
Verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works.
So now what he's picking up on, you've caught that very clearly, haven't you? So
exactly, yeah.
These deceptions that we're talking about. Now we say deceptions. Now if you happen to be a Gnostic kind of person, then you'd say, hey, the Gnostics were actually persecuted by the church. that's the kind of the way it goes. But you remember in Revelation, the term Antichrist is used a lot, mm-hmm. the coming one, which in Revelation, the term Antichrist is never used. They use the term beast and that's the term from there. Beast of the land, beast of the sea. And they would say, the interpreters would use the term Antichrist, but the term Antichrist is used here, is used in John, but it's not used there. But this is where they pick it up. But he does something different here because he says many deceivers have gone out in the world. And such a one is a deceiver and an antichrist, right? And so he's taken the same term, and he's using it to talk about false prophets in the church, that people coming in the church are distorting the proper ways of Jesus.
Okay.
So anybody who comes into your church and teaches something other than that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that Jesus Christ is that died for our sins and rose again, he would say they are the antichrist.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So if you're saying all roads lead to heaven, John would probably say that's an antichrist thing to do. Okay. Now, the thing about antichrist is we're never 100% sure about this because anti, the word in Greek can either mean opposed to or in place of. Hmm. And we don't know if these are people claiming to be Christ or if they're people opposing the message of Christ. And that part we're not sure of.
Okay.
What we are sure of is that these people have come into the church and they are deceiving the people in the church. And John, in a very short book, is fighting against that.
Yeah. Okay. And like you said earlier, there's that mention of the Father and the Son in the same sentence, the same teaching, that sort of thing, right, side by side. So, and
so that's part of what makes us think, you know, if they're arguing, if they're Docetics, early Docetism, taught that Jesus didn't actually come in the flesh, that he appeared to be here, but he didn't actually come in the flesh, right?
Yeah.
And so then if he's fighting against that, he says he came in the flesh, so that's the thing that he's fighting against,
right?
And then others that would say Jesus was only flesh and not God, then he would fight against that as well.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's easy to take Jesus and make him one or the other. It's really hard for all of us because he's both.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what John is saying. We got to remember he's both.
Right. Yeah. All right, cool. Then the last section here, verse 12.
I forgot. And if you don't do this, you're not going to get a full reward.
Yeah.
You're still going to get a reward.
If you don't, yeah.
You're going to get the participation.
You don't get the red, the blue, or the silver one.
No.
You get that peach-colored one that nobody wanted.
Yeah, I'm a participant. Okay. And everyone who goes ahead, okay, so then we finish the rest. And anybody who greets him takes part in his wicked works.
Yep.
And that's something that's come up a few times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it says, don't invite them into your homes. Mm-hmm. Don't greet these people. Don't be a part of them. Because preachers, we're figuring preachers in those days were supported by the churches. And they were also housed by the churches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So you wouldn't stay in a hotel. You'd stay in a fellow believer's home because they were as cheap then as they are now. Right? Actually, what they say is that hotels were actually quite dangerous places to be, but I don't know if that's true. So,
that's a vicious rumor started by the church, probably.
Yeah, that's great. Well, the guys who didn't want to pay for the hotel. And so then they would stay, and he'd say, "Don't." By inviting them in, you're supporting their ministry. And if their ministry is wrong, you shouldn't be supporting it, is what he's saying. He's not saying, don't let people into your houses, because I jumped on that.
Yes, clearly that's what it's being said here. No,
like Homer Simpson when he found out you could shoot someone for coming into your house and he invites Flanders over. and the guy says, no, you can't invite him over and then shoot him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Slight problem.
And then he finishes with final greetings, of course.
Right. Picking up at verse 12. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so their joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you.
Yeah, so where he is, they're greeting him. He said, this is a great one that if you're dating or anything back in the days before internet, you could say, you know, I had a lot to write, but don't want to do it with paper and ink.
That's right. I'd rather
wrote that. Somebody wrote that to me once. I thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
and then of course, instead, I want to come talk face to face. In Greek, it's mouth to mouth, not face to face. It's those are idioms, so you don't take it literally because it'd be very hard to talk that way.
Yeah.
And I just want your joy to be complete.
Yeah.
And so basically, be careful of these people coming into the church. Hold on to the truth, and don't follow these other guys. That's all he's trying to say to them. Yeah. There, and that's it.
Yeah, and I like what you said. You know, if he's talking about the lady as the church, then 13 makes a whole lot more sense too, right? So
that's right. Otherwise it's weird. You know?
Yeah, the children of your elect sister greet you. Like, yeah. What?
Well, I don't know who these people are, but
yeah, but they're elect, I tell you. Anyway, no, that's cool. Larry, thanks so much for leading us through that, because it's just a really interesting thing where John just hits on one thing really quickly. And, you know, like, we tend to think of books like the Pauline letters, which are multiple, you know, pages long in our biblical text. And here John says it very quickly and simply, like, you know, hey, if they deny Christ, they came in the flesh, kick them out. Yep. You don't even listen to them. So, well, folks, we're probably on about a 2-week break for now.
Hiatus,
sojourn. A step aside, but we will be back, and later I'll be actually able to speak in full sentences then too, because I'm really struggling tonight, I can tell you that. But we'll be back in about 2 weeks' time, and we'll pick it up with more small books of the Bible. I think we're going to rebrand our whole podcast, Small Books of the Bible. Welcome to the Small Books of the Bible podcast. But until then, please join us then. We're so thankful that you listened to this episode, and we'll see you soon on the Apocalypse Podcast. Bye now.